And now it's time for the Sports Kings from Queens.
Hello, everyone. Today is Wednesday, August 21st. We are the Sports Kings from Queens. I'm Gino. I'm here with Kevin. I'm here with Darren. This is show number 116. Please listen to us anyway. You get your podcast, like, subscribe, follow us on Facebook. Give us a like, give us a share. We want to talk to you. Talk back to us. Send us a post. We will reply back to you. Today on the show, it's sports potpourri night. We are ending the doldrums very soon of summer. But for this show, we're going to hit a little NFL, hit a little baseball. We'll hit a couple other points. NFL, 3 weeks left to the season. We still got some holdouts, right? Some quarterbacks were named. So Jaden Daniels named the quarterback in Washington, Bo Nix in Denver. Garner Minshew for the Raiders, I thought that was a little out of left field. I don't know how you guys thought. I kind of thought this was going to be Aiden O'Connell, but kind of questionable. We've seen it on Hard Knocks. Caleb Williams is starting quarterback in Chicago. He's been kind of excellent on Hard Knocks this year. Holdouts, nothing has changed in the last couple of weeks. The big names, Hassan Reddick, CeeDee Lamb, Trent Williams, and Ayuk for San Francisco. Ja'Marr Chase saying he doesn't want to play unless he has a contract extension in Cincinnati. We'll see how that holds. Two little trades that happened in the last week. Giants sent defensive tackle Jordan Phillips to Dallas. Pats sent Matthew Judon, linebacker, to Atlanta. That should strengthen the Atlanta start on the NFL.
Gee, I think you broke up a little bit. I'm having a little trouble getting you from time to time. Sorry.
Yep.
Okay. Any thoughts on the NFL, guys?
Well, start with you, Kev. Go ahead. Lead the way.
I think, you know, you mentioned a couple of the quarterbacks. I mean, you know, Jaden Daniels, I don't think is a huge surprise in Washington to win the starting job there. I don't think he had much competition. Personally, you know, I don't see any reason why he wouldn't start there. Denver, you know, a couple of guys who've been around a little bit, you know, Stidham and Zach, you know, we know what they are. I guess Peyton felt Bo Nix did enough to win the job there. You know, that I think that was a toss-up. That could have gone any of the three ways. But if Bo Nix is going to be at least what Zach and Stidham are going to be, then to me, might as well throw him in there. You know, why not? What have you got to lose, you know, putting Bo Nix in there? And then Gardner Minshew. I like Minshew. I think he's better than Aiden O'Connell. I think Minshew is at least a top-notch backup quarterback. You know, on a real good team, he's a terrific backup. But, you know, I think he gives the Raiders, at least out of the gate, a little bit better chance to win than Aiden O'Connell, in my personal opinion. Darren, what do you think on the quarterbacks?
Well, it's the same thing. I think Jaden Daniels had proven that he looks like he's the real deal. Caleb Williams, there was never a question about
it. They're never that with Caleb, yeah.
Yeah, it was never a question. And then you sit there and you look at it, and it's like two coaches doing the complete opposite thing. One guy saying, I'm going to go young, and I'm going to sit there and take my lumps with Nix, even though he's an older rookie. He's not quite Chris Wenke, 27, but he's older rookie. And then on the other side, you have, Pierce saying, I'm going to go with the veteran that's going to let these guys go out there and play a little bit more. I'm going to give my team a best chance to go. And it depends on what philosophy you like better. Kev?
Yeah, you mentioned, you know, Nix's age. He's the fifth oldest rookie quarterback to start an NFL season. You mentioned Wenke's the record holder at 29 years old.
Yeah.
Brandon Whedon, remember him from Cleveland back in 2012?
Yep.
They have to go back because of military duty. Roger Staubach was 27 when he started with Dallas. You forget, you know, he spent 5 years in the Navy before he got a chance to play in Dallas. And then the great Ray Nagel for the Chicago team back in 1962. It was the only guy older than Bo Nix. It was just one of those, you know, little things that you go, you know, you forget that Bo Nix played college for – what, Darren, 6-7 years it felt like?
Yeah, he was at Auburn forever, then he was at Oregon forever. And you know what? What he is what we see is what he's going to be. He's going to be a game manager. He's not going to be a guy that's going to throw the ball deep. And in Denver, his arm will look better than it is because the ball does travel a little bit better, this, that, and the other thing. We know what Jared Stidham is, and he's not very good. We know what Zach Wilson is, and he's not very good. I saw no problem with Denver giving the keys to the car to Knicks right now. As far as the Raiders, I actually agree with their decision too. I thought Aiden O'Connell is very overrated. He wasn't even a great college quarterback at Purdue. He was okay. I mean, he didn't light you up where you felt like he was fantastic. I think that the Raiders are going to come out here and try to see if they can be competitive right away. And if they can, Minshew is the guy. If Minshew doesn't get it done, they're probably not going to win with O'Connell. That's the only thing.
Okay.
If Minshew doesn't get it done, maybe you give O'Connell a chance, by halfway through the season, just to let him have the run the rest of the season, just to see if you have at least a backup quarterback. If Minshew's not the answer this year, they need a new quarterback for next year anyway.
Yeah, I'd be stunned if either one of these two guys is the guy next year. I think that this is – I mean, there are certain teams already that look like they are diving for Shedeur Sanders, so to speak, and the Raiders could be one of those teams. Primetime has Vegas written all over him, right? So, I mean, who knows?
Oh, no doubt about it. I mean, Sanders in late Vegas would just be fun to see. Looking at the number one pick, we haven't even started this year. You look at next year, maybe Carson Beck, might be guy that maybe teams want number one. But Sanders is going to be right up there if maybe the second quarterback taken.
Exactly. And that's kind of where we are. I mean, the season hasn't even started, so to think about next year's draft is a little crazy.
But it's ridiculous. Yeah.
But that's kind of what happens, though, unfortunately, especially when you're a team that's not considered to be very good. You sit there and you look forward to the next level here. A couple other things, just a couple of major injuries just to discuss real quick. So Matt Milano is going to be out till December, at least, if not for the entire year. That's another major blow for the Bills as a Jet fan. Listen, Milano's a good player, but, it'd be nice not to play them with him. It looks like four guys that were on the fence look like they're all going to be healthy for week one, with Gibbs being healthy, McCaffrey being healthy, Nacua being healthy, and Hopkins all being healthy for week one. Looks like Hollywood and Jalen Phillips should be back for the Dolphins defensive end. Hollywood Brown should be back for week two. Nick Chubb, they're saying week five. We'll see what happens there. Hawkinson week seven, Bradley Chubb week eight. So both Chubb brothers out of bad injuries. Dalton Keene, the tight end for Houston, out for the year. Rondale Moore, the wide receiver that just went from Arizona to Atlanta, out for the year. So already injuries in preseason. And to be honest, in week two, I felt like nobody played any of their starters, and we still had some major injuries. It was just one of those things.
Yeah, I haven't watched much. I watched a Jet game last week, just because I'm a Jet fan, and boy, that's tough to get through. And then, the Sunday night game, we had New Orleans play, was it San Francisco?
I did not see it, so I'll take your word for it.
The only reason I watched it is the backup quarterback battle for the Saints because of Spencer Rattler.
Why not? How did he look, by the way, Kev?
It looked okay. He played the second into the third quarter. What can you really judge in preseason half the time? I don't know.
The only thing I think about preseason, Kev, is that you don't want your backups to get blown out by the other team's backups, because that means if you get injuries, your team's going to suck. That's all I take out of preseason. I want to be competitive with the other team's backups. If I can, I want to beat them. You know why? Because if I get injuries, which I know I'm going to get, I don't want to suck.
I want my starters to come out injury-free. Let them get some reps together, especially when you look at the Jets, if they get their offensive line out there, I want them to play two or three series just to get some of the continuity, get some more gelling time together. And I know that before these preseason games, these teams are really having those joint practices that are becoming more and more, a safer way of getting the reps in against a different team without necessarily being game, speed per se, or the injury risk that you get in a game. So you don't see what's going on during the week there. But like I said, your hope is that you don't get your starters injured. And like you said, Darren, get your backups out there, get them playing well, and at least be competitive.
No, I agree. I'm sorry. Go ahead, G. Sorry.
Those joint practices are becoming more and more what the preseasons used to be.
Oh,
where
yeah.
At least where at least these guys were getting reps, whereas now we get to these preseason games and these starters aren't getting reps, or they're getting one series and they're done. So,
For the Jets, a perfect example, with Aaron Rodgers, you put him in the preseason game, they're going after him.
Oh, absolutely.
In these practice sessions, you put that red jersey on him, he's hands off.
Oh, agreed.
Two-hand touch, that's about it. And that's for safety purposes. And, as long as you're getting the reps and as long as you're getting, like I said, I think it's important to face other teams and other defenses rather than your own all the time. I think that's important. I think these, like you said, that Gino, these practice sessions during that week really give themselves a chance to see everybody and see what's going on without exposing them to injuries.
Exactly. Agreed.
Just a quick question for you guys. Daniel Jones did not look good against Houston last week. Threw an early pick six. Is there a reason for concern if you're a Giant fan, or is it just a preseason game and are we thinking too much into it?
Well, given what he's done the last couple of years, I mean, he's never been a great quarterback. What's his career high? 15 touchdowns?
Yeah, no, he's never been elite.
Coming off the injury last year, I don't know how you could not be concerned if you're a Giant fan right now. I mean, you have no idea what he's going to be able to give you. And if he's giving you anything, how good is he going to be? I mean, you've never seen him with decent receivers on this team. And right now, if you want to tell me Neighbors looks like he could be a star, okay. I think, the verdict is going to come when we see him play, because if he's really truly the only good receiver on this team, how many every good cornerback, every good safety is going to be watching him? So how good is he really going to get a chance to play? And that's kind of what happens with these rookies sometimes when there's nobody else on this team. And right now, there's nobody else. I mean, you saw the running back Tyrone Tracy went down for the Giants. So, you take a backfield that was short to begin with, and now you just shortened it more. How much do you think Singletary is going to give them at running back? So, if I'm a Giant fan, I'm real concerned about Daniel Jones right now.
Yeah, I mean, it's just that, and Kevin, you put it best. I mean, he's a guy that looks the part. He's got great speed. He's got a solid arm. He's got good size. Yet outside of, this big road playoff win against Minnesota that people will not stop talking about, he has not really had it where he's been – consistently good at any long stretch of his career. And I think Giant fans need to see that from him this year. And we're going to find out, because that's another team that could quickly become a team that's fighting for that next quarterback as well. They passed on it this year. They went for the receiver. It doesn't mean it's a bad decision. From all accounts, everybody loves Neighbors. Let's see what happens. But we will find out a little bit more as we go. I just think it's something to be concerned about. As a Giant fan as well, you want to see them come out strong. They opened the season against Minnesota, and that's a game that they have to win, to be honest with you. It's just one of those things where the Giants have to come out 1-0. Last year they embarrassed themselves. We'll get more into that as we get into the NFL previews. But, we'll see what happens. Hopefully Jones redeems himself a little bit. G?
Okay. We'll head over to baseball. So Yankees, Mets both won today. Yankees at 74 wins. Mets now at 66 wins. If playoffs started today, Mets are on the outside looking in at the moment. They're about 4 or 5 games, depending on what happens today, out of the wild card.
Only two behind Atlanta, isn't it?
They're a game and a half behind Atlanta.
I was talking about the entire wild card situation.
Oh, the top, okay. San Diego. Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. Yes, they're basically two games based on whatever happened today away from Atlanta for the last wild card spot, tied with San Francisco. San Diego, Arizona basically have taken the 1-2 wild card spots. Philly, Milwaukee, and the Dodgers still holding on to the division leads. AL, Baltimore, and the Yankees holding on for the AL and the first wild card spot. Cleveland hanging on with Kansas City coming on strong lately. Tied, they're basically right in a dead heat with Minnesota right now for that other wild card spot. Mm-hmm. And Houston has just taken over Seattle. The Kikuchi trade wound up, looks like it really generated them, put them in overgear. And Verlander came back tonight, so they got some pitching that's in the fold now. We're going to see. Anything going? Why don't you talk to us? Talk to me about what's going on with baseball first.
Well, congratulations to the Chicago White Sox. They are the first team officially eliminated from postseason contention. Which, when you're looking in August, boy, that's bad.
They have 31 wins because they won today.
Yeah, 242 winning percentage, still below the 1962 Mets pace. 40-120, 250 is the record. We'll see if the White Sox can beat that record. I'll start off with the Mets. You know, they've won four of the last six on the road on the homestand. I didn't realize that a pitcher can go nine innings anymore, but apparently you're allowed to have a starter complete a game. Severino threw a gem the other day, threw the shutout. Granted, against Miami, but. You know, I think Mendoza talked to him, let him go out from there for the ninth. He hit the first guy, and Mendoza went out there and talked to him and basically told him at that point, I think, we're going to take you batter by batter. And if you keep getting outs, we're going to leave you in there. And Severino responded and threw a gem and got the complete game. And you could tell the crowd was so into it. The crowd, you know, the Mets haven't had a complete game since Jacob deGrom in April of 2021. I mean, you know, we talk about it all the time. Yes, it sounds like old men yelling at the clouds and all, but I miss a complete game.
And I think completely overrated now, but I get it.
Every Met fan was on his feet.
For the win, not because he was out there for the ninth.
No, because he's out there for the ninth, because he's out there for the damn complete game. People wanted these pitchers to go out there. Pitchers want to see complete game.
Do not buy it for a minute. I don't buy
They want to see pitchers out there. They want to see the starter going out there, showing that he can throw the complete game. I'm sorry.
They want the win. That's all they want.
They want the complete game.
They want their pretzel, their beer, and a win. They don't
care.
They
want to see old school baseball. They want to see a starter go nine.
Nope. Wrong.
Yes, they do.
You do. You do because you want to see
baseball fans. Real baseball fans want to see starters go nine.
Real old men baseball fans is what you really mean.
I like it when I get to sit these out. Anyway, go ahead.
It's so rare for you, Darren.
I just figured I'd let you guys have it.
And then
I thought it was Gino all the time.
And then we had two out of three against Baltimore. I went to one of the Baltimore games. Unfortunately, I went to the Quintana start, and we watched them lose. You know, of course, I missed the two exciting games with the Alvarez walk-off on Monday and the Jesse Winker pinch it walk-off home run today. I think the ball landed in the seats we were sitting in Tuesday night. Just my luck. But, you know, good last week, you know, getting back-to-back series wins, getting four out of six there. And now, really, what makes or breaks our season here, next six games, they go on the road. They're at Arizona, at San Diego. I think they've got the order reversed.
Yeah, it's reversed.
The two teams right in front of them, or not front, but, you know, two teams ahead of them in the wild card. If they go out there and win four out of six, that gives you faith that this team can pull out the wild card. Anything less than 4-6, you know, four out of six, I should say. You know, it's like, you know, if they go out there and win one in San Diego, one in Arizona, and go 2-4, I think you can pretty much figure, yeah, they're going to miss the playoffs. Well, Darren, any thoughts?
I think they're still alive. I think that the wins that they had, I thought that the Alvarez home run, and he's been slumping big time, was huge. You know, basically calling his shot. Winker's first home run as a Met, there at one today to win a game. I think that this team plays with a lot of grit and a lot of heart. And if J.D. Martinez is starting to hit like it looks like he's starting to hit, and Lindor hit his 25th, and they need Alonso to kind of get things going a little bit more again. But if they can get that offense going, this team is dangerous. The bullpen miraculously has picked up a little bit, Kev, on the back end. Hasn't been great, but it's been better. I mean, you know, I don't know why Ottavino still has a job, but it's been better, you know.
Ottavino has a job until Nunez comes back.
I know, but he should be gone
in a couple days.
Addition by subtraction.
Oh, no doubt. You know, of all the additions, Maton's been the best.
He's been good.
Budo's, except for today, a little wild today coming in, but he's been lights out, really, coming out of the bullpen.
Budo's been very good.
Diaz has looked great since coming back from his time off there. You know, at least the back end, you feel like
they call it a suspension.
Just, yeah.
Was it like you took a vacay? Gee, you had a point.
So I don't think the Mets are out of this at all. I mean, Atlanta keeps getting injuries. We saw Austin Riley go down the other day. He's going to be out 6 to 8 weeks with a broken hand. They had to bring in Gio Urshela.
That's really the season, basically. But 6 to 8 weeks is the season. Yeah. He's gone for the year.
And yep. Do you really think San Diego and Arizona are going to stay this hot? See, I don't buy it. So I think the Mets are in this. As long as their bats stay healthy, they're in this. Because San Diego and Arizona are not going to stay this hot. They're just not. They're on – Darren, you're San Diego.
I watch a lot of Padre games. Yep.
They're on fire. I mean
– Mets have to go out and cool them off a little bit.
Except when Waldron pitches, which was today. The Padres look good. Then they bring in Waldron. He gives up 12 hits and 10 runs over 4 1/3.
I mean,
stop. It's like watching Clay Holmes come in. Stop. Stop putting Waldron out there. Anyway.
Aaron, the 7-8-9 of Jason Adam and Tanner Scott and Suarez is just crazy good.
It's excellent.
I just don't see San Diego and Arizona staying this hot. I think Atlanta still dealing with injuries. They're dealing with tons of injuries, trying to find their way. So as long as the Mets' bats stay good, I think they're in this, Kev. I really do.
I think they're the best of the offensive teams, G. I think out of all four teams, their offense is the best that are fighting for a playoff spot right now. I mean, Soler is supposed to come back for Atlanta, and he plays well there. But Austin Riley's a major loss. The thing about the Mets, it's really going to come down to the pitchers. If they can get the starters to be consistent, Seve coming out and giving that complete game, whether you think it's overrated or not, still shows a little bit of heart for him to come out there. And he was the worst pitcher statistically in baseball last year.
Yeah.
He was, I mean, worst. I mean, it wasn't like I think he sucked. He was the worst. It wasn't like
a debate. He admitted to being the worst.
And statistically he was. And for him to come out there and do that was impressive. Listen, whether you think the complete game is important or not, I agree with both of you on this. Yes, the team, they wanted a win more than anything, and I think they were excited to have a pitcher go the route. So I think it kind of works both ways. But I think the Mets are alive and well. I think the Mets have a real shot here at getting in the playoffs, and I think they're going to get in, not only because I predicted it before the season started, but I think that they're a pretty good team. You're very close to it, Kev. You see the warts like I see the warts on my Yankees. I get it.
I see them lose 2 out of 3 against Oakland, 2 out of 3 against Anaheim. You know, I see those types of series that you go, God, what the hell are you doing? Team gets swept, losing 22-1 to Seattle. I see those warts that come out, and that's what gives me cause for concern.
No, I get it. I get it.
Well, let's move across to the Bronx. So, Darren, Soto, Judge, and 7 other hitters. It could be Ward, could be Mignano, could be DePrima for all I know. Playing first or third, doesn't matter right now.
Well, the Yanks scored 8 runs tonight, all 8 driven in by Soto and Judge. What can you say? I mean, do I have to watch DJ LeMahieu, as you've been saying for 2 years? No. Donaldson got cut with better stats than LeMahieu has right now. And they DFA'd him last year like it was nothing, right? Do I have to watch Jason Verdugo making out every time up when I have Dominguez hitting over 300 in the minors? Well, I know we didn't do great against Skubal. A lot of people don't do great against Skubal. Judge him off one game against Skubal? Maybe the best pitcher in the league, or at least top 5? You got to be kidding me.
We have to wait for Verdugo's allergy meds to kick in from his, what was it, chrome and cobalt allergies affecting his hands and the batting gloves. It's like, come on, what are you doing?
Stop. And then Wells still getting platooned. He's better than Trevino behind the plate. He's better than Trevino at the plate. And yet somehow, some way, Boone and Cashman, this genius combination of morons, suck. And it doesn't get any worse, because I'm going to break down closers in a little while just for fun. And the fact of the matter is that the amount of games that we blow in this bullpen are enough to make me – you guys saw the meme I sent you of the guy trying to jump off the bus. I mean, this is what it feels like when he comes into a game, G.
Can Verdugo or Dominguez put a first baseman's glove on and try one game? I mean,
I throw Verdugo there. Dominguez is too short.
I mean,
he is.
Ben Rice guy.
I said this last week, but Rice and Peraza and LeMayu between first and third is going to kill me. I swear. They're driving me nuts.
You know what's funny? And I'm a huge Volpe guy, but he's not been great. He never gets a day off. They never give this guy a rest. Meanwhile, Wells can't get into the game two games in a row. I don't get it. I don't get it. He's probably the third best hitter on this team. He doesn't get in the lineup every night. I mean, that's how bad it is. I don't know what they're doing. I don't know what Boone is doing. The rotation, you know who? Rodon is one win off the league lead.
Yeah.
He's got an ERA well over four. They score when he pitches. He hasn't been great. He's been better, but he hasn't been great. I mean, you know, the rotation's okay. They just lost Heal. He went on the DL. I think Clark Schmidt's due to come back at some point soon, so hopefully that'll offset it a little bit.
He's doing a rehab Friday, I think.
Yep, and hopefully it goes well and he comes back to pitch next week. But it's just one of those things where you watch this team, and thank God the Orioles don't want it either. Thank God. Because if the Orioles really, really felt like winning games, forget about it. But they don't seem to care either. They seem to care as much as the Yankees do, which is, oh, we'll bring in Clay Holmes. And this is such an indictment on Cashman. This is just an indictment on him. Listen, I mean, I've been talking about it for 2 years. You guys know this. But you guys have known me for well longer than that. And you know I'm no genius. If I could see we had no closer, how the hell is the guy that's getting paid to run this team not see that we didn't have a closer? We all know we don't have a closer. He's a nice eighth inning guy. At best, it's freaking awful.
Kev? Does Baltimore have a closer? You mentioned their fans
too.
I mean, watching Sir Anthony Dominguez give up two game winners in the last 3 days.
Watched him in Philly, Kev. You saw he was no good there either.
Yeah, watching the skeletons of Craig Kimbrel try to close games anymore. You know, they. I saw a stat about him. You know, his last save was July 7th. Since then, 10 appearances, 9 2/3 innings, 11 hits, 13 runs, 12 walks, 4 home runs. That's over a 10 ERA in the last month. You know, Kimbrel's been like this for the last couple of years.
You know, he's old.
He runs out of gas.
Watching him, and, you know, for all the great things about Baltimore, you know, their youth movement and everything else, you know, you look at Rutschman, Henderson, and Santander, you know, one more than the Yankees have in Judge and Soto, but the rest of that lineup is doesn't necessarily scare you.
Well, like, Mullins has regressed.
I mean, they've got later playing out there
homers from
that.
Time to time. Yeah.
Jackson Holliday hasn't done anything yet, except for the one grand slam when he first came back up again. You know, Urias at third. And, yeah. You know, the Yankees are very fortunate. For the last 2 months, the Orioles have decided to play .500 ball as well.
Yeah. Yep. The Yankees should be 6 out or 6 up. But either way, neither team wants to close out a game, so it makes it exciting to watch. And if you watched the game last night, and the bullpen actually until they got to the back of it was pretty good last night. I can't even complain.
Yeah. Oh,
if you watch Trent Grisham run the bases in a big spot. I mean, I know the third base coach held him up and then let him go. And then he turns around. It looks like he's running in slow. Looked like I was running. It felt like me and Gino racing around the bases. That's what it felt like. It felt like me, Gino, and Kevin in a race in the sausage costumes. That's what it felt like. It felt like we were in Milwaukee watching Trent Grisham try as hard as he can not to score. How do I make sure I get tagged at the plate?
That's your great third base coach.
Oh, my God.
Luis Rojas.
There's so much to hate about this team. But so much to love about the two guys, and of which one of them is going to be here next year, the other one won't, because they're not going to pay the most money. I mean, that's just really where it sits, unfortunately. But we'll get into that in the off season. Any other points you wanted to make on the Yanks, there, G?
No,
I had a couple of quick things. Number one, you guys hear about the Staten Island Little League coach making a big deal that they didn't feel like Judge paid a lot of attention to them. I thought the Yankees and the Tigers did a great job in Williamsport talking to all these kids. And the Yankees came out and they kind of undressed that coach a little bit today with a statement saying we're going to have the whole team over. And we spent a lot of time with all the kids. And I can't understand where this is coming from. And I've never seen anyone criticize Judge before. So I found that interesting. I thought it was a little bit
out
of character. I thought the coach was a little bit of an idiot for that. A couple of other quick stats just to go through. The Judge versus Witt competition, okay? for the whole. I mean, is there any chance? Does Witt have any shot of winning the MVP?
I don't know how.
I mean, listen, I'm not trying to say that he's better than Judge, but what I'm trying to say is it's closer than it looks sometimes on paper.
Well, and here's the thing, Darren. Judge is at 46 home runs right now.
47. He's at two tonight.
47, excuse me. So are you telling me that, you know, if he hits 10 more, Judge is going to be at 57 for the year. He may get to 60. So you're telling me he may go 60, 140 and hit 325 and lead the league in eight categories and still not win the MVP?
I think he's the MVP. I'm just saying it's closer than you think. I just want to go through these real quick for you, okay? Run scored going into today. So I didn't count today's stats, okay? Witt is first with 110 runs. Judge is third with 97, okay? Then we go hits. Witt has 177, leads the league. Judge is, I think, somewhere – he's at 147. He's got 30 more. He's sixth. Doubles, Witt's third with 37. Judge is 11th with 30. Triples, Witt is second with 11. Judge has one, so he doesn't even count. Home runs, Judge is the leader, 45. Witt's got 25. He's, I think, 19. Well, now he's 47. I'm just going into today because otherwise I'd have to do this with every stat and it'll be a freaking mess. RBIs, 114 to 92. So it's first for Judge, fifth for Witt. Strikeouts, Judge has struck out, you know, the sixth most in the league. Witt has only struck out 84 times compared to Judge's 135, but that doesn't matter. Judge is second in walks with 103. Witt's only walked 40 times. Witt has stolen 25 bases. That puts him in the top five. Witt's average is 352, puts him at number one. On bases, Judge 463 to Witt's 101. Slugging, Judge 709 to Witt's 618. OPS 1172 to 1019, first and third in all three of those stats. I'm just saying that it's not a slaughter. Witt leads about five categories. Judge leads, I think, seven or eight. And the fact is that on the ones that Judge leads, Witt is like second, third, or fourth in a lot of them. I'm not saying that Bobby Witt Jr. is better than Aaron Judge, and I don't think he should win the MVP. But the year that this kid's having that no one's talking about is pretty impressive.
Except in all the categories that he's close to Judge, the two big ones he's not, which is home runs and RBIs.
RBIs, he's in the top five. He's not like that. He's 22 back. I'm not saying he's close, but he's in the top five.
But that's my point, is that if at some point you're going to look at some of these categories, the first thing they're going to look at, specifically if Judge winds up hitting 60, I'm not saying Witt, if there's no Judge this year, Witt's probably the MVP. But, you know.
but just to go off your stat, though, is runs batted in more important than runs scored? Or are they about the same?
If you're batting at the top, it's run scored. If you're batting in the middle, it's run RBIs.
Well, both guys are batting in the same spot. Either one of these guys bat down in the order. They both bat in the top.
Considering to win the Triple Crown, it's home runs, RBIs, and batting average, I'm going to say it's RBIs.
Okay. I'm just saying, but, you know, that run score, to me, the stats are six of one, half dozen of the other. I don't take it as big a deal. Either way, because I think if you're on base to score runs, I think it counts almost as much or just as much as if you're driving in runs. Because, you know, sometimes you get a cheap run scored, but that means you had to get on base. But you can get a cheaper RBI than you can get a cheaper run scored, in my opinion.
Okay.
And just my opinion.
I mean, some of the newer stats, you know, when you look at things like war, for those, some of the voters do look at that. I don't necessarily like it, but, you know, the war's pretty close. I think it's 8.6 to 8.5, depending on which one you look at. I think Witt's chance would be if the Royals win the division, then they're going to look and say, why did the Royals win the division? You know, seemingly, you know, going, boy, the Royals have sucked the last couple of years. How did they win it? Oh, just Bobby Witt. You know, I mean, the rest of the team, you know, you've got Perez, you've got Pasquantino who have had nice years. You know, so I think Judge said,
but not amazing.
Yeah. So, you know, it's really been Bobby Witt's team, and the only chance, like I said, is for the Royals to win the division. Outside of that, they think it's Judge's to lose.
Well, I think I'd be stunned if Judge doesn't win it. I just wanted to point out how good Witt has been doing. Just a couple other quick things, unless you guys have something else. I just want to talk closers for a second. First, Joey Votto retired today. So congratulations, yep. Former MVP player. You know, class act. Never played on a really good team, but, you know, was a great player in his prime.
Hall of Famer?
He's real close. You know, it's become a very good, not great player thing, so I think he has a shot of getting in because of that.
You know, he's got the on base percentage, but to me, he's never been the first baseman, the guy, you know, necessarily. Hall very good. If it's a Hall very good anymore, yeah, he's in. If it's a Hall of Fame, if it's a Hall of truly great players, no, he's not.
Adrian Beltre. I'll leave it there.
Compiler.
So last week we had the Jackson triple, the triple Jackson triple. I don't know if you guys saw this. On the same night, Jackson Holiday, Jackson Churio, and Jackson Merrill all hit triples. That's freaking hard to do. It was pretty impressive. I think that was pretty cool. So the triple Jackson triple, I thought was pretty wild. And then just wanted to go over closers real quick, just because some of these guys are having amazing years, and then there's Clay Holmes. So we'll start real quick with Class A, okay? So when you look at Class A, he's 4-2 with an ERA of 0.61, okay? Whip of 0.66, batting average against a 154. He's allowed one homer, and he's converted 37 of 40 save opportunities. Then you go to Rasul Iglesias, right? 2-1 with a 1.48 ERA. Whip is even better than Class A's of 0.64. Batting average also better, 139. He's only allowed two homers, 27 out of 29 saves. Kirby Yates, the one no one's talking about, who's been amazing. 4-2 with an ERA of 1.33, so better than Iglesias, right? Whip of 0.89. Batting average against of 127, better than both of the first two guys I named. Two home runs allowed, 22 out of 23 saves.
Isn't Kirby Yates 48 years old?
He's 57. Him and Bobby Thigpen. Then I went to Robert Suarez, only because it's his first year in the role with the Padres. 7-1 with a 1.79 ERA. Whip of 0.89, batting average against of 192, four home runs allowed, 29 out of 32. And then we go to Clay Holmes. 2-4 with a 2.82 ERA and a 1.29 whip, batting average against of 256. He's only allowed three homers, but 26 out of 36 save opportunities. So he's blown 10 saves. How is this allowed to happen? I'm sitting there, you know, nobody even talks about Kirby Yates. Freaking guys lighting it up. We couldn't find a way to get Kirby Yates from a Texas team that's falling apart. Couldn't find a way to get I don't want to even talk about it. But that's where I am with baseball. I'm livid about my closing situation.
But you got Mark Leiter, Jr.
Oh, God. You know, Luke Weaver's been the best guy, and he's not very good either.
I would just like a corner infielder, please.
I will take a closer and live with and again, I'll give Verdugo a first baseman's glove. Let him stretch it out. That's all I got for baseball, boys. Anything else?
I have one other one. Ellie De La Cruz, 60th steal to go with 20 home runs today. He's only the fifth guy now to go 2060.
2060, yeah.
Joe Morgan, Eric Davis, Ricky, and, of course, Acuna's great year last year.
Yep.
And by the way, do you know which offensive player leads the league in most strikeouts? Ellie De La Cruz. Second, he's 10 ahead of Ezekiel Tovar, and then Nate Gorman would be third. But that's where we sit. So De La Cruz leads in a lot of stats is all I'm trying to say.
Yeah.
Anyway, you guys have anything else before we wrap this thing up? We are the Sports Kings from Queens on a quick show talking about the wonderful, wild, and wacky world of football and mostly baseball. If the Yankees can't get a freaking closer, please fire Cashman. Fire him in front of everybody. Put him out in the middle of the damn field and let the entire fan base get to come out there and fire this guy who should have been fired 12 years ago, 15 years ago. Anyway, download the podcast anywhere you get a podcast, whether it be Spotify, TuneIn, whatever you like. We post a lot on social, Instagram and Facebook mostly. Please like, share, follow us, do all the things that we need you to do, and comment and tell us what you want us to talk about. And without any further ado, may your sports be with you.